This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This show is brought to you by GoPays, providing accessible, affordable, and inclusive digital financial services, all in one app. All also okay.
It's 7:09. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn, and we have now got our third episode of our five-part series on financial innovation and accessibility. So for the past and next few Fridays at 7 p.m., we're looking to understand different parts of the financial system and also how banking can be made easier and better. So last week, for instance, we looked at how banking has changed over the years from the introduction of checkbooks to ATMs. Today, we're going to take it a step further and look at how the internet changed the game for banks as online banking entered the picture. So those of us who are tech savvy or who've just become really used to it might take it for granted. We're used to conducting instant fund transfers, paying our bills remotely, just making all these arrangements that we don't even think about anymore. But it is after 20 years, really, more or less, that we're able to do that. And getting it off the ground had its challenges. So we want to look back a little bit at how banks and Malaysians adapted and delve deeper into the world of online banking. And to do that, we're going to be crossing over to Kelvin Lee, who's the Financial Services Assurance Partner at PwC Malaysia. But again, if you would like to share your thoughts, and especially on this front, with your experiences with online banking, particularly if you actually had to make the transition from doing most of your transactions in person to shifting to an online space, please let us know what that was like. You can call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, on the line with us is Kelvin Lee, Financial Services Assurance Partner at PwC Malaysia. Kelvin, thank you so much for joining us. So let's start by looking worldwide. When did online banking first begin and what form did it take?
Well, the first concept of internet banking was simply known as home banking. And it was back in the late 1970s to the early 1980s in the US when banks started to really explore this concept of home banking. So being able to perform banking services from the comfort of your own home without needing to step into a branch. And it really took engineers who previously worked in IBM, who then moved into banking, to explore this concept of home banking, right? And back then, the bank had to manufacture its own custom security modem for its computer. And customers who wanted to get onto this concept of home banking had to purchase this hardware to be able to link up to the bank's portal to access their account. So you can imagine that back then, internet banking was not widespread and it was really for selected hobbyists.
And having said that, right, at that point, customers would already have been familiar with some remote services. So I'm thinking here of phone banking. How did taking things online change the game?
Yeah, so tracking back the history, we talked about late 70s to early 1980s, and then we moved into the new decade in the 1990s. And it was really the rapid growth of e-commerce and the use of the internet and the widespread use of computers, right? The desktops followed by laptops that led to consumers thinking that, you know, hey, if I could purchase goods and services over the internet. And back then in the 1990s, if you could recall, internet companies that were pioneering this concept, such as Amazon.com and the likes of eBay, you know, you were thinking that if I could perform such services over the internet, why not banking over the internet? And that's when really the banks started to focus their efforts on making internet banking a real alternative channel for their customers. Yeah.
So what services were made available at the start and then what came later?
Yeah, at the start, it was really plain vanilla type banking facilities that was available. So the plain vanilla facilities were essentially the account balance summaries, you know, requests for account statements. And then it progressed onto more complex facilities that could be performed online. So we're talking about fund transfer between your own bank accounts, fund transfer with third-party accounts, payment facilities, requesting checkbook requests. And in some limited cases, it was also possible, even back then, for customers to submit their loan applications and perform online share trading. And then moving on from then banks also started to provide online bill payment services using credit cards.
And that's the introduction, but when did banks first begin to prioritize and strategize around online services?
Even back in the 1990s, in the early 1990s, I wouldn't say that online banking was incredibly popular, even in countries such as the US. So for those who lived through the 1990s, if you recall the concept of the World Wide Web, it was still very new to many companies, including banks. So if you think about it, in the early to mid-1990s, what do companies use the World Wide Web for? They use it basically is to advertise their services, right? And not really to transact over the internet. And banks were no different back then. Banks were using the internet as a form of an advertisement platform rather than using it as a banking channel. But banks started then to really pay focus on harnessing the power of the internet as a banking channel, I would say in the late 1990s to the early 2000s, right? And that's a period when e-commerce and the dot-com era really dawned upon us.
On the line with us today, we have Kelvin Lee, Financial Services Assurance Partner at PwC Malaysia, talking to us about the introduction and growth of online banking here in our country. And this is, of course, part of our five-part series on financial innovation and accessibility. If you'd like to share your experiences with online banking, particularly if you had to make an adjustment to it when it was first introduced, please let us know what that might be. You can call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Stay tuned for more insights on GoPays, a universal e-wallet, all in one app. All also, okay. We're back with more from GoPays, all in one app. All also, okay.
It is 7:17 on the dot, and you are listening to our third episode of our five-part series on financial innovation and accessibility. So if you missed it, we started off by talking about the introduction of banking to what was then Malaya, and then we moved on to introducing things like ATMs. And now we are getting closer and closer to current times because we're talking about online banking. Again, if you'd like to share any thoughts or stories on this, especially if you had to adjust to it in the early days, you can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Now joining us is Kelvin Lee, Financial Services Assurance Partner at PwC Malaysia. Kelvin, thank you so much for holding. So we've been talking, I think, a little bit more macro, but when did online banking arrive in Malaysia specifically?
The first internet banking service that was launched in Malaysia actually was way back in the year 2000. And there were two banks that led the charge in this area. The first was Filio Allied Bank, which obviously doesn't exist anymore, and it was followed by Maybank. So internet banking in Malaysia is basically 20 years old now. And in the very short span of 3 years since Bank Negara allowed banks to offer internet banking, there were approximately a total of 12 banks in the country offering internet banking facilities. And around the same time, five banks in Malaysia then launched their concept of mobile banking.
And what were the initial roadblocks to introducing it in Malaysia?
Well, in my mind, there were two key roadblocks that would have hindered the introduction and the growth of internet banking. The first was around costs. And as always, it's always about costs, right? So costs in developing the necessary technologies to enable internet banking, not only costs to be borne by the individual banks themselves, but costs to be borne by the authorities in developing and modernizing the payment infrastructure in Malaysia, right? Without investment in technological infrastructure, consumers will not be able to enjoy the full benefits of internet banking. Fortunately for us, the banking industry in Malaysia was very open to the idea of internet banking, and the regulator, Bank Negara, they were actually encouraging banks to embark on internet banking even way back then, 20 years ago. And simply because internet banking really was a means to promote financial inclusion in the country. And the second roadblock for internet banking was, again, really key concerns around security. You know, how comfortable would consumers be in dealing with their own money online?
So what was the uptake and learning curve for consumers at the beginning? And was it difficult, I'd imagine, especially for older customers?
Yeah, so looking back at the first introduction of internet banking in 2000, and then just 3 years later, around 2003, the number of internet banking users were around 1 million. So that was a penetration rate of 2% when we look at the Malaysian population. And based on Bank Negara's latest numbers up to June 2020, there were actually 34 million internet banking users with a penetration rate of way above 100%. And back then, the learning curve was definitely high for certain segments of the population. So we're looking at, obviously, the older segments of the customers who have mistrust of dealing with money online, because obviously they would prefer using the physical branches. So you have to understand that the generation of digital natives is only the current recent Generation Y or millennials that we are seeing who are extremely comfortable with transacting online. So the issue of internet banking, even to today, still exists within the older segments of the population.
And you kind of referenced this earlier, but let's dive into it. Was there a trust deficit to making transactions online, and how was that overcome?
Oh, definitely, right? Consumer behaviors today obviously were very different 20 years ago. You know, you cannot have an effective payments ecosystem without the confidence of the public in the security of transactions in online banking. So this is an area that the authorities and the regulator, Bank Negara, they did not take it lightly. They did not take it for granted. So technology and innovation have created new methods of perpetrating fraud that you could be executed faster and with a greater reach, right? And cyber criminals have been active ever since the introduction of the internet. So they're constantly finding new ways to defraud the public. But fortunately, our regulator has managed to instill much confidence in the public via its supervisory approach on banks, right? Ensuring that banks in Malaysia not only have cybersecurity at the top of their minds, but also you see banks and the regulators, Bank Negara, embarking on so many campaigns to educate and make the general public aware about the types of e-banking fraud and scams out there. Yeah, so based on the statistics of the usage of internet and mobile banking, I think that the regulator, together with the banking industry, has been pretty successful on this front.
And so it was introduced, trust deficits somewhat overcome. How long then did it take to grow in popularity? And how has that changed over the years, especially as internet penetration strengthened in the country?
Yeah, I mean, definitely, if you look at the numbers, as I said, from the initial beginning years of the introduction of internet banking back in 2000, one would actually look at the question and popularity or even the relevance of physical branches, right? So one would assume, okay, with internet banking, then will the branches go away? And that's not really the case, right? There's not much publicly available data that shows that the popularity of branches is actually on the wane in Malaysia. Based on a World Bank study, during the period of the years 2000 to 2010, the number of bank branches per 100,000 adults in Malaysia actually increased from a factor of 11 to 14, right? So that was when internet banking was getting off the ground. So we could see that internet banking did not significantly affect the number of branches in the country back then. But based on a recent World Bank study, based on numbers as of 2018, the factor of branches actually reduced from a factor of 14 in 2010 to a factor of 10 in 2018. So we do see a slight decrease in the number of branches, but they were not as significant as one would have expected.
And speaking of, mobile penetration in Malaysia is at 130%. How important is mobile banking to banks now?
You know, what is interesting based on the BNM numbers is that there are only 18 million mobile banking subscribers and the penetration rate to the Malaysian population is only 55%, while the penetration rate to mobile subscribers is only 40%. So this is very interesting considering that mobile cellular penetration rate in Malaysia, like what you correctly pointed out, is at around 130%. But the smartphone penetration rate was at 78%. So these are based on the MCMC numbers as of 2018. And these numbers really shows us that there's a huge opportunity for banks to continually develop their mobile banking app to offer the same, if not better, customer experience to their customers versus using the traditional internet banking channel. And I say traditional internet banking, I really mean traditional in the true sense, right? Because in reality today, consumers today, they are more often on their mobile phone rather than their laptops and desktops, right? So banking through mobile banking is really the way of the future.
And coming back to the theme of our entire series, how has online banking changed accessibility to financial services?
Yeah, the importance of the introduction of internet banking 20 years ago really cannot be overstated in terms of promotion of financial inclusion, you know, allowing the population to have access to basic banking services at minimum cost. You are able now to perform banking services without traveling and stepping foot in the branch. And also, internet banking, I would say, is just a subset of the overall payment systems that we as consumers use today on a daily basis, right? Without internet banking and its related tech innovations, we would not be able to enjoy the various new ways of making payments and also banking, right? Following from internet banking, what we saw was new retail payment instruments were then being introduced and have become more and more popular among the consumers, right? We saw the development of electronic money or e-money, such as stored value cards, or commonly known here in Malaysia, we call it prepaid cards. And working within the ecosystem of e-money and internet payment, payments can now be made over the internet using traditional debit and credit cards, e-money transfers and payments, and also by allowing consumers to make invoice payments over the internet, right? Today, we have also seen the ability for card-to-card funds transfer services being offered by payment technology platforms. So much credit needs to go to Bank Negara, who has actually pushed banks in Malaysia to continuously promote and adopt internet and mobile banking.
And what do you think is going to be the next innovation in this field?
Well, in Malaysia, we are waiting to see the launch of digital-only banks. So Bank Negara will be issuing up to 5 new banking licenses. And these banking licenses are to players who will be able to run this so-called digital-only bank. And this, in my mind, is revolutionary, right? When was the last time that the regulator has actually come out to say that they will be issuing new banking licenses, right? So the entrance of digital banking players will be the biggest single disruption that the banking environment has seen in decades. And what is a digital bank? So a digital-only bank is basically a bank that doesn't have any physical branches. So you as a consumer, if you want to open a bank account, there's no more stepping into a branch, no more taking a number and falling in line for a queue, no more talking to a branch manager, no more talking to a relationship manager, and not even phone banking, right? Everything must be done via the mobile app. So we, PwC, we recently conducted a survey of Malaysian banking consumers, and from that survey, banking consumers actually welcomed the new digital bank players into the market. Why? Well, in that survey, the common frustrations that Malaysians face were essentially waiting too long in the branch, waiting too long on the phone. The current online banking app that we see today has really poor functionality, and banking products are not tailored enough. So Malaysians want banks to use technology to service them. And also Malaysians are generally very open to trying new technologies, right? If a mobile app is able to solve most or all of the pain points of traditional banking, plus also offer them access to e-commerce and lifestyle services, Malaysians are very, very interested in becoming a customer of a new digital bank, right? And to make digital banks work, you will see the non-traditional players coming to this space. So we're talking about the technology companies, the e-commerce companies, and even the telco companies. They want to move into banking. So what we see is that the lines between financial services and technology companies will be blurred, right? Digital now will evolve from basic online banking to a broad set of capabilities. So we're no longer talking about internet banking, we're talking about digital banking. And digital banking is currently evolving in front of our eyes, whether we notice it or not. Digital banks are evolving into a broader set of offerings based on tech innovations. So we're looking at user experience, social media interaction, customer analytics. So by embracing digital, banks are now trying to deepen their existing customer relationships as well as access new sources of revenue. And from digital, the last point I'd like to make is we are also seeing the emergence of new fintechs or financial technology companies who are both challenging the incumbent banks and also forming new partnerships with banks to provide them with the digital capabilities and technologies to provide a superior customer experience.
Kelvin, thank you for joining us this evening. That was Kelvin Lee, Financial Services Assurance Partner at PwC Malaysia, talking to us about the introduction of online banking in Malaysia. If you have any thoughts, send them our way and keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
This show has been brought to you by GoPays. All in one app. All are so okay.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.